You're listening to the Trekmate Family Network.
So here I am speaking to the one and only Ethan Phillips.
Thank you.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thank you, sir. Very well.
So, first of all, I have to say, obviously, Neelix went through the entire series run, right until the end. Was you? Personally, I feel it was perfectly fitting that Neelix didn't make it all the way home with Voyager, that he managed to spend the rest of his life with his own people and his family.
I agree with you. I think he had one of the best send-offs of the whole crew and cast, because they didn't even know what they were getting into when they went back to Earth. They'd been away for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But there would have been no reason for Neelix to go back down there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know anybody, and the crew that that he was comfortable with were all going to go on their own ways, and he would have to fend for himself. And the option of going to an asteroid where he had a mate, someone he loved, and a child, Dax, I think the kid's name was, and to have a position of respect in a community of people like him,
mm-hmm.
that was a no-brainer for him, you know?
And that's the thing. It was, for me, it was really natural, because he had spent so many years caring for Naomi.
Yes.
And he had become the surrogate father.
Very much so.
To her. So it wasn't as if it was out of the blue. For me, Neelix was one of the ones that actually had the most well-rounded endings, because with Voyager, unfortunately, we just saw them sailing off into the sunset.
I know. It was not a very satisfying ending, I don't think, for a lot of people.
No.
I don't know why. I don't know any rhyme or reason how anything works. You know.
Yeah. So you actually started out your career on the stage, like a lot of Trek actors.
Yes.
Do.
I came from the stage. I still do the stage. I just did a wonderful production of a Molière play called The Imaginary Invalid,
mm-hmm.
with Peter Dinklage.
Yes.
And then I'm about to start a play now in New York,
mm-hmm.
at the Manhattan Theatre Club.
Excellent.
With Bebe Neuwirth, who is a big star in America.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a new play. So I have always done stage. It's a... kind of celebrates the craft of acting in a way that none of the other mediums do, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
when you're on stage, it's all, you know, you're doing your own editing, your own close-ups, everything out there.
Yeah.
You're really in control, and the buck stops with you. When you do film or TV, you know, the editor and so many people have a lot of choices to manipulate what you've done.
It can be read in so many different ways.
Exactly.
When they're editing it. And also, with television, unfortunately, you have to wait so many months before you get any sort of reaction to the work that you've done.
That's correct, yeah.
Where in theater, you've got it right there in front of you.
Right in the minute, right in the moment, yeah. It's a great feeling.
And also, if something doesn't feel like it's going right, you can spin it round.
You can spin it round, yeah. That's true. You can. Every night is different. Karen was just saying, every time she goes to the theater, she goes to see the same play twice, it's always a different play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's great. Yeah.
So, obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, your first appearance on Star Trek was on The Next Generation in Menage a Troy.
That's right, yes. Yes.
I can't believe your character even wants his keep, Loaxana.
Yeah. That was in 1986, I think. Over 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. A long time ago.
Yeah.
So you was with the franchise for quite a long time, as long as most people, because
yeah.
you even appeared in Enterprise as well.
Yes, I did, and First Contact, so I've been in a bunch of stuff on the series, yeah.
And First Contact must have been a nice one for you, because you didn't have to get into prosthetics.
That was very pleasant.
Yeah. A nice, easy transition.
Nice, yeah. I had to put a fake mustache on, I think, if I remember, but that was about it.
Mm-hmm. And Vaughn was saying, you've been participating in the band. You've been playing the sax.
Yeah, I played the sax since I was a kid, so I've played with him, yeah. We've had a couple of gigs. It's gone pretty good.
Have you got any coming up?
Vaughn, do we have something coming up? We do have... No, I mean in terms of our band.
Oh. The band, I think we got the
Rat Pack. Oh, yeah, but we play in that.
We play. We do music in that. You do the sax.
I play the sax, yeah. That's in Philadelphia.
Percussion, right? Well, we do Vegas. I don't know if you're in Vegas.
I think Las Vegas and Philadelphia coming up next year, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, what, at the Vegas Con?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Boston. I just do percussions.
Yeah. They always give me, they give me a number to play. I usually do some bluesy thing, kind of thing. Tenor sax is great on that stuff, you know?
Yeah. So, within Neelix's entire run, was there any sort of moment that you felt Neelix had his golden age?
I think personally, for Neelix, you know, he had a lot invested in the religion of Talax.
Yes.
The afterlife,
which is a great tree.
Yeah, it's a huge part of Talaxian's culture.
Mm-hmm.
And in Mortal Coil, when he discovered that probably didn't exist. Or didn't, you know, I mean, who knows, he was dead for 18 hours and there was nothing there. I think he discovered that he was very melancholy and desperate after that because he had so much invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But because Beltran, Chakotay was able to make him see that, in fact, it really doesn't matter what comes after. What matters is how we are now and what we do now, which I think is one of the great things about Star Trek. It doesn't matter what you look like or where you're from or anything. It matters what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big moment for Neelix. And I think it from that moment on, I think he was a more relaxed person.
Mm-hmm.
With who he was and his place in the universe.
And I think that's just a story that everybody can relate to.
Everybody can relate to that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's three kinds of people in the world. There's people who are atheists, there are people who are believe in God and afterlife, and then there's the agnostics,
mm-hmm.
who embrace uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
and just say, hey, who knows?
Yeah.
And for me, the most comfortable place to be is in the middle, where you're open to anything.
Yeah.
And that's where he was. So he was well, and then he was in the moment from then on.
Yeah.
He just took things as they came. And,
yeah, brilliant. Well, I know you've got a queue, so I won't keep you waiting any longer.
Sorry. Right.
Thank you so much for taking
my pleasure.
The time to talk to
my
me.
My pleasure.
Worry, we will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?